How many would like to understand God? I'll be very honest with you. He has a very different opinion of you than you have of yourself. And in a little while from now, we're going to go into this word about that. But his opinion of us and our opinion of ourselves don't match. And what I've learned over the years is my opinion of myself was formed by a multitude of words, different kinds of words coming from different hearts, some filled with fear, some filled with anger, some filled with judgment, and some filled with attitude. How many have ever had a teacher filled with attitude? And you could just tell that they couldn't stand your guts. Yet you had to listen and you had no choice. You had to submit and do what they wanted. How many have ever had a parent that disappointed them? Yeah, me too. You know why? Because I had expectations. Right now what I'd like you to do is like to put your right hand over your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I've had opinions of different people in my life, male and female. And I had a wonder why they didn't like me, or why they pressured me, or why they rejected me. If anybody knows what it feels like to be rejected, Jesus does. He was rejected by an entire nation and all of its officials. And they all said, you can't be the Messiah because you're not doing it my way. Lord Jesus, release healing to my heart today. Not only to me, but to those who have offended me, betrayed me, hurt me, did not meet my expectations, and I set them free, Lord. Because on the day they crucified you, you gave me an awesome example. You said, Lord, Heavenly Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing to me. But it's been allowed for a greater purpose. Maybe something happened to me with a greater purpose in mind. And I'm going to trust you as you heal me, Lord, that I'll get to know your plan for my life rather than my own. Amen? And amen. Perception of who I am and the perception of who they are. Say, it's all about perception. Does that sound like something you heard a few months ago? Yeah. Perception. What I perceive about me versus what is truth about me. I'm having a challenge with this little microphone today. This morning, the Lord was pressuring me. And he was pressuring me a little bit yesterday. And God allows pressure for a reason and for a purpose. He never, never makes a mistake. Sometimes we feel like we're living in the middle of a mistake. Amen? But God never makes a mistake. So I'd like you to take your Bible and go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now I have a press to use both the Amplified and the NIV, so I don't know how this is all going to work out. But all I know is I know how to listen and I know how to obey to the best of my ability. How's that? Clear?
Tell your neighbor, I know how to obey. And I know how to listen. To the best of my ability, I'll give out what comes from God. Amen? And amen. You understand, there are times that you perceive yourself to be something that God says you're not. So therefore, I'm going to go to the beginning of verse 1 there on chapter 5, 2 Corinthians. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Now, everybody's got a perception that that should happen maybe 1,000 years from now. So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now, it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us a spirit, or his spirit, as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Say, I've got his spirit as a deposit. How many have ever bought something and paid it one payment at a time? Oh, you can all relate. The Holy Ghost came into my life as a deposit. Did I get the whole package? No. A little piece. Is it okay to share what happened this morning? Come on up. When we were praying this morning, this young lady had a vision last Tuesday night when she was on the floor. And the Lord gave her a vision. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And this morning, the Holy Ghost gave her a deposit. She has her new tongues. Yeah, give glory to the Lord. Give glory to the Lord. Now, does she need it? Absolutely. Amen? She got a brand new language. Yeah. Yeah. Malik, I believe you have it too, but it hasn't bubbled out of you, but it bubbled out of her. Uh-huh. Uh-huh, because you felt it too. Amen? Amen. Okay. So, now God has decided to change that whole house. Mom, it's your fault. Mm-hmm. Of course it's mom's fault. A deposit. A deposit is something that you start with, but it is not complete until the fullness of that something is done. Now, car loans, 2, 3 years, some 5 years. At some point, you own the whole thing. Yes? Some people are satisfied with the deposit. And are happy to go home with just a deposit. How many know that if you just don't activate the next series of payments, you're going to have just the deposit? And if the bank is wise, they're going to be knocking on your door and they're going to say, hey, wait a minute. Olivia, what did you say?
Give it back.
Give it back. And sometimes it dries up. Sometimes it dries up. You say, well, wait a minute, what are you getting at? You mean the Holy Ghost can dry up? Well, don't water your plants for 6 months. Uh-huh. If the garden that you plant in the spring gets no water for 3 or 4 months, what are you going to have for a harvest? Yeah, thank you. She got it. Okay. Verse 6, I want you to listen carefully. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and we would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord, so that we make it our goal to please Him. Not to please ourselves. Amen? Whether we are at home in the body or away from it, We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God. And I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us. Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all have died. In other words, when Christ Jesus died on that cross, he gave you an example. And when that example is established in your heart, you get to realize that you don't do things for yourself anymore. But how many know we got a rebellious nature? We sometimes still end up doing the bad thing, and we realize that it's not really us doing it. And I could take you to Romans 7 and show you St. Paul, as a writer to the wonderful Roman church, was saying as an adult in Christ, the very thing I want to do, what happens? I can't do it. And the thing I don't want to do, I end up doing. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. This next verse should have a circle around it. Because that's my goal. That's the verse I want you to really look at. So from now on, Kim does not regard himself from a worldly point of view. Verse 16, Amplified. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view, in terms of natural standards of value. No, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint as a man, yet now we have such knowledge of him that we know him no longer in terms of the flesh. What am I talking about? What is St. Paul talking about? I want you to close your eyes for just a moment. Keep your finger in your Bible. Right? Say, from now on, I'm not going to look at myself from a worldly point of view. I'm going to look at myself with a heavenly point of view. Because God's got a plan for me. It's an awesome plan. It's a plan to build me up. It's a plan to make me great. In the kingdom of God. Right now. Not 20 years from now. Or when I'm dead. Physically. Kind of dumb, wouldn't it be? Wouldn't it be kind of dumb if you had to wait 20 more years to be what God says you are? So your opinion of you can no longer be discerned by your little skinny brain. I mean, no, there's a churning going on right now. There's a debate. What is he talking about? I'm talking about when your spirit man, who is full of Christ Jesus by the Holy Ghost, is aware that this thing here is full of flesh. It's been taught by human beings with great intentions and a percentage of love, a percentage of compassion, and a percentage of healing available as they give out with the natural man. But down here inside me, down here inside of you, inside your hearts, go ahead, put your hand right here. Say, down here inside of me is the real me. The spirit person that is loved by God, created by God, and intended by God to receive blessings and mighty anointings of grace and mighty anointings of favor in 2008 and beyond. Not just 1,000 years from now. Amen? Say, I'm living in the kingdom now. Okay, I want you to kind of take another look at a different aspect of what I'm trying to create today in you. There was a friend that Jesus had. His name was Lazarus. And he died. And Jesus didn't show up. And he had two sisters. And Jesus waited for the father's instructions to go back. His brain was saying, why don't you go back? And he had 12 guys around him. And they all wanted him. Well, let's go back. Let's go check out Lazarus. He's your friend, isn't he? And Jesus is holding back. And he's not going anywhere. Why? It wasn't the right time. You heard the testimony about the timing earlier. The right time is all important. The timing of a word, the timing of a choice, a timing of an action and a reaction. Because if you put everything in the right perspective, it all works out. Now, the scenario goes forward. Jesus gets the word from the Heavenly Father in his spirit, not in his brain. It does come up, and he gets the message. Okay, kids, let's go. And he gets over to Bethany. And guess what? The guy's already buried. He already stinks. His body's deteriorated. They can tell just going up the mountain. They can smell it. Okay? And the girls are looking at him, and they've still got a little glow of light in them. And one of them says, if you believe. And he told them, I am the resurrection. He told them outright, I am the resurrection. And you know what? One of them said, if you ask the Father, we know you can do something. Right? That little woman had more faith than you and me. You know why? She took a chance that she didn't have to wait 1,000 years into the millennium of the kingdom in order to get a resurrection. Say, the resurrection is alive in me. In my spirit, man, is the spirit of Christ Jesus. And he is the resurrection. So I can rise out of any problem. I can resurrect out of any kind of death. Any kind of sickness. It's up to me. I can either go by my skinny brain or my eternal spirit. Amen? It's up to me. Now, Jesus says this intense prayer, but he says to the woman, have the guys move the stone. How well would you have done with those instructions? Would you have put a clothespin on your nose and did it anyway? Or would you have submitted to your brain and sat and waited for somebody else? You see, you're going to have to bypass your emotions. You're going to have to bypass your sense of smell. You're going to have to bypass your sense of sight. You're going to have to bypass your sense of hearing because you know what? She hadn't heard anything from her brother for 4 days. He's buried for 4 days. She smelled, and it didn't smell good, did it? She looked at the stone, and it was hopeless. And Jesus says, bypass all of that stuff and give instruction. Would you do it? Would you speak for it? Or would you just think about it for 6 more months? See, many in the body of Christ do not get the miracles that were designed for their home and their family and their business because they're focused on the smell, they're focused on the sight, they're focused on the emotions, and they, what? Choose nothing. They choose to sit. And while they're sitting, guess who the stealer is? He's going around stealing as much as he can. Yeah. Who is the stealer? Your adversary. And he loves it. Because you know what? That little woman gave you and I an example. She said, wait a minute. Okay, guys. And she had to speak, didn't she? Get the stone. Roll it away. And then Jesus says those intense words, Lazarus, come forth. When are you going to speak to your problem that's been buried behind some major stone? And to speak resurrection into that situation. It's going to be up to you, right? Will you look at yourself from a worldly point of view? Will you look at your circumstances from a worldly point of view? Or will you look at your circumstances from a spiritual point of view? With an eternal plan that God has already established in each and every one of you. Verse 16 in the Amplified again. I'm going to read it to you because I want you to digest that verse. Consequently, from now on, I will estimate and regard no one, including myself, from a purely human point of view, in terms of natural standards of value. No, even though I once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint and as a man, yet now I have such knowledge of him that I know him no longer in terms of my flesh. Am I shaking your tree? Am I shaking your theology about who Jesus really is? Am I shaking you into really understanding that God has an awesome, awesome plan for your life? And he wants to use you. And yes, there is a stealer doing what he can. Don't listen to him. Shut him down. All right? Shut him down. Push him out of your heart. Let's go a little deeper. How many are catching on to what I'm trying to make you see? All right? If you can catch on, if you can really grasp what I'm trying to make you understand, then your life is going to change. Your actions and reactions are going to change. People are not going to upset your cart. And your flesh is not going to rule. I pray. If you have trouble with yours as I do with mine, periodically you're going to have to remind yourself of this word. I'm not going to look at myself from a worldly point of view. Close your eyes one more time. Say, I'm not going to look at myself from a purely human point of view. I'm going to wait on the Holy Ghost and get his opinion. And he's right inside my belly. And there's a river of life ready to flow out of my mouth to change my future. It's up to me. I can roll that stone or put up with the stench. It's up to me. Verse 17. Are you ready? Verse 17. Say, are you ready? Hallelujah. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What are we talking about? We're talking about the real you. And I could take you to Jeremiah chapter 1 and make you see that you had a beginning with God that was awesome and your anointing was already there and I could make you see it. But you know what? There's enough truth here in that one verse to make you understand. You are a new creation. The old you is dead. It was buried. It was buried with Christ. You know, the old has gone, the new has come. If your perception of who you are is that in Christ Jesus you are a brand new creation, that old pattern of your lifestyle, looking at your problem with all kinds of discernment, and I'm not trying to tell you natural discernment isn't handy, but it's still flesh. Natural discernment, the opinions of people, the opinions of men, the opinions of the newspaper, the opinions of the television, they're all wonderful, but they are what? Flesh, but the opinion of God. How do you find the opinion of God? How many of you got your Bible? Say, God's opinion is written. And it's written about me. So listen up, devil. I've got a better opinion. Dictated to me by Jesus himself in his word. I am a new creation. Amen. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, I used to think this ministry of reconciliation was for me to give the word out to somebody else. Anybody relate? What about that same reconciliation of you to Father God? Ah. Can you deny your own children? Can you deny your own family? Well, you're either born of the Spirit or you're born of the flesh. How many are born of both? Born of both. I have a natural family and I have a spiritual family. I have a natural understanding of who I am and where I came from. And by the way, I got a big piece of news this week. I found out, because I just went through a birthday, and one of my sisters calls me. Now, she's in her 80s, and she says, I remember the day you were born. And I said, that's marvelous. I don't, thank God. But then she gives me a piece of information. Now, she calls me every year since I had my knee surgery. Before that, I never heard from her. And that's another story. The bottom line, here's her comment to me yesterday, or the day before. She says, I was the one that had to take care of the doctor. I says, you did? She says, yeah. She says, your father was working, and of course, mom was at the house. And she says, we didn't have any money to pay him. So my instructions were, Sell 12 little piglets to the neighbor. He's already asked for them. So I found out yesterday that the value of Kim Bergeron was 12 little piglets. She got $1 a piece for them. So guess what? I'm worth $12 for delivery. Not bad, huh? November 1939. Isn't that intense? It took 12 piglets to get me free. I thought you guys would get a charge out of that. I got a charge out of it. I was laughing. And Irene says, what's wrong with you? I said, nothing. I just found out I'm worth 12 things. I don't know if they grew up, but I'm sure they got slaughtered, and so did I. How many of you got slaughtered? Yes. And the old you has been buried with Christ in your baptism. Yes. And the new you came to life. You know, I can laugh because you know what? That's so hilarious. It is wonderful to know that you and I have been purchased with a price. But I didn't know the price until yesterday, a couple of days ago. Amen? I thought that was cool. Anyway, back to 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Notice again, it's reconciled me to God through the anointing and gave us a ministry of reconciliation to God. Me and God are now what? In harmony. That God was reconciling the world to himself. I always had that more important than the real me being reconciled to my Father God. In Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Whoa! If you're in Christ, God does not count your sins against you. Is that what the Word of God said? Is that what your Bible said? Then do me a favor. Close your eyes one more time. Say, God's opinion of me says clearly that my Father God is not counting my sins against me. That was the old me. The new creation me sees no more sin on me. Hallelujah! Something to ponder on, huh? God's opinion of you is not your opinion of yourself. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. See, I was always given this part of the verse as the important aspect of it, never really putting in the fine line of, hey, God's not mad at me. God loves me. God sent his son to die for me. He took away all my sin. He doesn't even see any sin on me. So why am I looking at all my sins? Because it's comfortable. How many know there's a little devil that loves to whisper in your ear and tell you everything you did wrong yesterday? Thank you. Would you just kick him off of there now? He doesn't need to live there anymore. Amen? Say, I've been washed in the blood. And I'm free of all sin. Look at your neighbor. Say, you're washed in the blood. And you're free of all sin. Get God's opinion of you. Hallelujah. Isn't it cool when you have God's opinion of you, you won't have a dull day in your life? Uh-oh. Some of them are giggling. Well, it's true. If you really believe what you just said, you know those dull days are going to go what? Down a shooty-shoot. And those dull days are no longer going to rule over you. You know why? Because you can visit there, but you don't have to live there. All right? There's a difference between living in that state of, oh my God, I'm hopeless, I'm the sinner, I am blah, blah, blah. Or, you know what, I'm a new creation. I'm going to step above this thing. And I'm going to get God's opinion of me, and he's going to finish his good work that he started in me. Amen? Okay. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you in Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him to be, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I could concentrate on that verse, but I think you got the message. Study the chapter this week. Get a new version of who you think you are. And what you now believe you are, there's a difference. No longer looking at yourself from a human point of view. Would you grab your neighbor's hand, please? Say, Lord Jesus, we're going to believe today that those who listen to this message will also get the knowledge that they are brand new creations. They're going to look like Jesus. They're going to smell like Jesus. They're going to be full of love like Jesus. And full of compassion and mercy. And that's my future. Hallelujah. Share some hugs with each other. Declare out loud who he is when it's time. Amen.